Just for a moment, I'd like you to imagine that you are the coach of a basketball team. And one day while your players are practicing, someone shows up and says that he wants to be a part of your team. And you allow this player to join the rest of the players on the court, and immediately you notice that there is something very different about this player. Every single shot that he takes, he makes. And it doesn't matter where on the court he is standing, close to the basket, far away, he never misses, not once. So naturally you get excited and you invite him to join the team. And the next game that you play, you start this player, and then you notice something else. Every shot that he takes, he misses. Doesn't make a single point. And you think, well, maybe he's just had a bad day. So the next time you practice, you realize he makes every single shot again. Doesn't miss one. Next game, same thing. Misses every single shot. Doesn't score a single point. And this pattern is repeated over and over and over. Is this a good player? Well, when it really matters, if he doesn't score, can't call him a good player, can you? This player would be like someone who calls himself or herself a Christian, maybe even a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, who is able to expound on every biblical doctrine, is able to give you every text to support every doctrine, is able to lay in front of you a chart showing exactly where all of the last day events are and what order they are to happen and when, who is not a loving person. When it really matters, that person fails. I'd like you to take your Bible and open it to John chapter 13. Gospel of John chapter 13. This is the night before Jesus is crucified. He has been with his disciples. Jesus has observed Passover with them, but in the process, he has instituted what we know of today as the Lord's Supper. At the conclusion, notice what Jesus says in verse 35. John chapter 13, verse 35. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Jesus is saying the true sign, the real proof that you are my disciples is by the way you love each other. Now, if you'll keep your finger here and go towards the back of your Bible to the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse 27. Just a little bit before Revelation, James chapter 1 and verse 27. Notice what James writes here. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. What is true religion? True religion does not rest in what you know in your head. True religion involves how you behave towards people who need help. Widows and orphans during this time of history were symbolic of people who were helpless and needy. And James is saying real religion is looking after those people who need help. You can say all you want about your beliefs, you can make great claims about your standing with God, but if you are not loving towards the people around you, and if you are not ministering to those who need help, In God's eyes, you're like that player who never scores a single point when it really matters. All of that is worth nothing. Remember, we are saved by grace, but we are judged by our works. Now, how does that work? How can we be saved by grace but judged by our works? Where our salvation is a gift that God offers to us, a gift of grace, something that we do not deserve. All we can do, all we need to do, is to accept that gift, to receive it. When we have truly received and accepted that gift, what will happen is our lives will change. When we have received that gift of grace, that gift of love from God in Jesus Christ, that gift will change us. And it will change us so that our lives will then be, will demonstrate and reveal and manifest works of love and kindness towards the people around us. And it's on that basis that God judges us, that he can show the rest of the universe, see, this is someone who has truly received salvation. And you can see it by how they live their lives. Not by what they say, not by what they claim to believe, but by how they actually live their lives. And that will be the proof that we have salvation. Too many people try to short circuit that process and take a shortcut and just think, well, if I act the right way, then that'll be proof that I'm saved. Doesn't work that way. The heart has to be changed first. And that's what today's service involves, recognizing that we need that heart change. If you go back to John chapter 13, this is John's record of Jesus celebrating the Lord's Supper with his disciples, except he doesn't talk about the bread and the wine. Instead, he focuses on what took place just before the meal. Jesus had asked John and Peter to make the arrangements for that Passover meal, but somehow they neglected to hire a servant to wash the feet of all of the guests. When it was time for everyone's feet to be washed, all of the disciples recognized that it should have been one of them to stand up and do that job, washing everyone's feet. But because they had just been arguing among themselves who would be the greatest, who would sit at the right hand of Jesus when he established his throne and set up his kingdom, they all thought, I shouldn't have to do the job of a servant. Let somebody else do it. And because every one of them thought the same thing, nobody moved. And John tells us, Jesus then stood up, took off his outer robe, took the towel and the basin of water, and he began to wash the feet of his disciples. He did the job of a servant. When he was done, verse 12, when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Here Jesus was, their master, the Messiah, the Son of God. He was willing to do the job of a servant for his disciples. And Jesus pointed out to them, if I as your master am willing to do this for you, you should be willing to do this for each other. You follow my example. For Jesus, it's all about humility, being willing to put yourself aside so that you can help somebody else, minister to their need. Jesus was willing to set aside his glory, his place of divinity in heaven, to become a human being for our sake. And he would go on to break his body, to spill his blood on the cross, so that you and I can have the hope of salvation. And if Jesus is willing to do that for us, then we should be willing to follow his example and do the same thing for each other, to be humble enough to serve each other. And that's why the Seventh-day Adventist Church continues the practice of foot washing today. Some people think it's rather gross to be touching somebody else's feet, washing it. But it really is a graphic example of what it means to be humble so that you can help somebody else, to do something that is inconvenient and a bit awkward perhaps, but if you're humble enough, you would be willing to do it for the sake of somebody else. And it's a reminder to us of how Jesus was willing to put himself aside for our sake. If we can be humble enough to do that, then we would be following his example and walking in his footsteps. But as human beings, you and I do not do this naturally. By nature, we are proud. We are selfish. And it takes a miracle of God. It takes his love in our hearts in order for us to be able to put self aside for the sake of somebody else. And this morning, as we celebrate the communion service, as we wash each other's feet, I invite you to follow Jesus' example, to walk in his footsteps of humility, and be willing to do this for somebody else, just as a reminder of what God is calling us to do. That we won't be like that player who can make all of his shots in practice, but miss everything during a game when it counts. Let's be those kinds of Christians who will not only be able to know the truth, but live out that truth in love, so that Jesus can say, these people here, they are my disciples. Just look at how they love each other. May God's love rest in us so that we can truly love one another. At this time, we will separate and practice this ordinance of humility. There are rooms